I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall, will I sing hallelujah, will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Hello and welcome to the Word of Life. This is Shane McNair. I am the one who normally hits record on the tape recorder for Bruce, but today, on behalf of the listeners, I wanted to say thank you for, well, we figured it out as over 10 years of doing this show with me, and then he did it for 2.5 years, we think, before that, maybe three. So, you know, I've seen him work on this, I won't say tirelessly, because sometimes he is tired, but he always does it. And on just behalf of the people, I want to say thank you as one of the listeners. So with that, I'll turn it over to Bruce. Thank you.
And I appreciate those words. Shane and I have worked together over time, as he said, and it's been a joy for me. Vanessa was going to sing, but I think she's decided not to sing. I just wanted to mention her, okay? The McNair Menagerie that's here, the cats and the dog, have made themselves known in the past and various recordings of the program. Everybody's heard the statements they have to make. I interpret those as amen, by the way. I don't interpret them as I disagree or anything like that. So I'm glad to be here today with you. I'm glad to have the time with you for this last program, number of the Word of Life, as we have been doing it. There might be a time in the future when the program starts again that would depend entirely on me, probably, in that sense. I'm just pushed to the max sometimes on time. I mentioned when we talked about ending the program a while back, I mentioned that I didn't have the study time anymore that I need, and my work at the store that I work at, along with the ministry that I'm involved in, has pushed me kind of to the max in that. And I'm not asking for your pity. I'm not complaining. I just want you to understand that it's not because of you, the listeners, but because of me, that the program's discontinuing. The congregation at Colcord has helped to support this program over many, many years, decades, and we appreciate, of course, the involvement that they've had. The elders and members there have always been supportive of the work here. When Brother Larry Ellis was alive, Larry was supposed to be my backup speaker, and I remember asking him one time, said I was going to be gone on vacation, would he speak? And he just said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. And I just, to this day, every time I think about this program, I think about that statement that he made, and it just kind of tickles me. We have had very good studies, I believe, from the responses that you have made over years, and I appreciate that. I appreciate those of you that have been regular listeners for quite some time. I appreciate the workers here at KERM. The radio studio has been flawless as far as I can tell in the work of supporting this program and any mentions made of it. I appreciate so much that time and the announcers that we have, always clearly and specifically stating what's coming up. The consistency of the performance of the radio station has impressed me. Many years ago, it would be in the early 60s, this radio program began on the KUOA station in Siloam Springs, a station that, as far as I know, is not even there in that form anymore. But we are glad to have been here at KERM for several years, nearly a decade. The time that we have spent studying together has emphasized several things, and that's what I want to spend just a few minutes talking to you about today. This probably, I was telling Shane before the program began, that this is the only time that I've recorded this that I'm not 100% sure what I will and be able to talk about today. This is a hard program to have prepared. It's kind of a look back at four things that we have talked about over time. And I hope and pray that these things are present in your mind. I hope that I have been an encouragement to you and a help to you in the seeking of faith. These things are really familiar scriptures to you if you have been listening to the Word of Life for any length of time. The first is going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you would open your Bible there, please. This is one of the fundamentals of what this program is about, has been about, and what your faith needs to be about. You cannot have faith without these four things that we have talked about. Now, what we're going to talk about is the need to seek, the need to hear, the need to discern, and the need to respond. And those four in that order begin with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. In the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, just past the middle of the statement that Jesus made, he makes this statement. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, if you're looking at Matthew chapter 6, you'll see beginning in verse 25, Jesus has talked about all the various worries that we have, the things of what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, and all these things. And the point of Matthew 6:33 is that if we look towards God in this and speak to him and seek him, then what we have is the assurance that these things will be taken care of. Now, that comes down to a decision that you have to make. And the decision runs like this. Either I trust God for what he says to be true, or I distrust God for what he says to be true. God says if you seek him, that he will add these things to you. And verse 34 reminds us of the conclusion that Jesus draws from his own statement. He says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We tend to be hamstrung in our efforts to be the servant of God. by looking back at the things that we should have done and didn't, and by looking forward to the things that we don't know what will be. And so we become ineffective in the present because of the past and the future. Jesus says, don't let that happen. I want you to call your mind to another scripture that we have talked about quite often, and that is in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is a chapter that Paul is trying to explain to the people of the church at Rome why it is that Israel didn't respond en masse to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to Jesus being Messiah. And he sums up at the end of chapter 10 with a statement that runs like this. As for Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Now, what Paul is talking about there is that God's prophets have come, God's messengers in any form, in any way, shape, or form, have come, and they have been rejected time and again by the people of Israel. And now the ultimate messenger has come, the cornerstone, if you will, the one who is the foundation of all. And looking at this presence, that is the presence of Jesus, Paul says that the response of the Israelites has been that they have rejected him. Back in the first part of chapter 10, the statement is made that in verse 2, I testify about them, talking about Israel, that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. In other words, they have not listened to what the prophets said. They've not listened to what God has revealed. And they've rejected the Christ. Now, in the middle of all of that, Paul talks about what can be the result if a person has a heart that's not disobedient and obstinate towards God. And what he says there in chapter 10, verse 17, is that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, that is, the word about Christ. And if we understand then what Paul is saying, he is saying that the whole reason that Israel went wrong was not because God failed in getting the message to them, not because Christ failed in the work that he came to do, but it's because they failed to hear what it was that he had to say. Now, I want to call your mind to a statement that Jesus made several times in the Gospels and at least seven times in the book of Revelation. If you remember, Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ through John to the church. Now, in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, there is a statement seven times repeated, he that has ears, let him hear. And that statement is used by Jesus quite often in the Gospels. Let me point out to you that what this is all about is the ability that we have to be able to hear what God has to say. It's not that God can't communicate, not that God can't speak. It's not that God hasn't revealed that is the problem. It is that many times what he speaks, reveals, and gives to us in this written book is ignored by us. Now, the Israelites, as verse 3 said here, had a zeal. Or verse 2 said they had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Why? They were excited about serving God, but they didn't listen to what God said. Now, verse 3 points out that they didn't know about God's righteousness. They didn't subject themselves to the righteousness of God. They just didn't understand. Why? Because they didn't hear. They didn't have faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, Paul would say then, and hearing by that word of Christ, that word about Christ. Now, let me encourage you to realize that in these first two, the necessity of seeking and the necessity of hearing so that faith can exist. What we have done is we have crossed the boundary from the outside to the awareness of God, to the awareness of who he is and what he wants for us. If the Israelites had listened, if they had been truly seeking God, they indeed would have heard. You remember the story in Luke, don't you, about Simeon, dear old Simeon that had waited in the temple to see the Christ. Anna, remember, the prophetess was there. The baby Jesus was brought in for the fulfillment of the law concerning circumcision, the various things about dedication of the firstborn to God. And Simeon had waited. He had been told by God that he would see the Christ. Now, I want you to notice something about Simeon. He was a man of faith. Why? Because when God spoke, Simeon heard. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that word of Christ. And he had been told about this Christ to come. Now, the fact that seeking and hearing go together, shouldn't surprise you, because if you're looking, you're going to hear what God has to say. In a few moments, we'll pick up our studies. Right now, let's hear a song. The third aspect of this program today has to do with the book of Acts, chapter 17. Now, again, these are familiar scriptures. Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom. The statement in Romans 10, faith that comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Here in Acts chapter 17, the story of the individuals at Berea that Paul preached to. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. I have found that this is one of the most read and least understood passages of Scripture that I have come across in Scripture. Now, you might say, well, there's a lot more important text. I don't believe that there is. I don't know that there's anything more important than the ability to listen to what somebody says and measure what they say by what the Scripture says. Because you see, if we don't find right, if we don't seek truth, then we're going to fall for whatever happens to be said. This is what's called discerning. Acts chapter 17, verse 10 through 12. Read the text with me. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. Not a very complicated statement, not anything that takes, you know, brain surgery, rocket science abilities, that kind of thing that we say. You understand the simple process, don't you? A preacher comes and speaks, and you have a choice of either accepting what the preacher says because, well, I know the guy, I like him, I'll trust him for whatever it is that I'm listening to. That's one choice. The other choice is that what the preacher says is scrutinized. It's gone over line by line, thought by thought, and compared to what for judgment? To what I believe? No. To the tradition that I was raised in? No. To the God that reveals? Yes. Because you see, what happened here in Berea was Paul and Silas arrived, and maybe they didn't know Paul and Silas. Maybe that's why they were more apt to check on what they said. Perhaps it was that Paul and Silas, as they were teaching, said, now you look at the scripture and you see if what we're saying is right. I don't know the exact reason, but you and I would tend to say, well, if it was Paul, it's bound to be right. He's an apostle. That didn't mean a whole lot to these people. Paul's standing in life was not the measure of the message that Paul had. I have no great compelling reason for you to believe me, you know, in that sense. When you hear me, there's no reason that you've got to say, oh, well, it's Bruce, we got to believe what he says. No, you test what I say. You test what Paul says. You test what preachers say. Because there are many false speakers today. If you don't believe that, read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Jude and various other places in the scripture where this is talked about. The simple truth of the matter is that Paul and Silas came and began teaching. And when they began teaching, the response that they got ran like this. The people received what they were saying with eagerness, great eagerness, the statement is made there in verse 11. All eagerness. How did they do that? Well, they were examining the scripture. You see, this is not complicated. But they not only were examining the scripture, they were examining the scripture daily. This became a, not a preoccupation, but a practice that they had. Perhaps others that had taught there in times past had been scrutinized in this way. I don't know, again, what the Bereans had done in the past. I don't know exactly whether Paul and Silas told them to do this or they had this on their own. But it looks to me like that they were familiar enough with the scripture that they could sit down and look and say, now let's see, Paul said this, and Isaiah the prophet said this, or David in the Psalms said this, or whatever it happened to be. You get the point, don't you? The very fact that something is preached doesn't mean that it needs to be believed. And the fact that it agrees with God is what makes a sermon to be good. The best compliment in the world I can hear is that I don't seem to be able to say anything except what God says. I'm good with that. Like Peter said, if any man speaks, let him speak, as it were, the oracles of God. They examined the scriptures daily. What was the point of their examination? Well, here they were listening to Paul and Silas. They received the message. They examined the scriptures daily. Why was all this done? Verse 11 tells us at the end whether these things were so. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? If I don't speak what God says, it might entertain you and it might make you feel good about yourself and various things like this. But if I don't speak what God says, what good am I? What good am I if I don't say what God says? I quite often tell people when they comment about lessons on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, they say something about it. Well, I just tell them, well, all I do is gossip. And they look at me a minute, and the statement is, I gossip, I repeat what God says. God speaks, and I'm simply one that repeats that. I am reflected truth in that sense. I am not the source or the origin of truth. I discover truth all the time through studies and through the various things that I live and things like this. The truth is in this book. It is not residing in me in the sense that I'm the origin of it, okay? Verse 12 talks about a result that happened, which would bring us to the last passage that we're going to be talking about on the program today. And that is the fact that verse 12 says, because of what they had done, therefore, that is because of hearing, because of receiving great eagerness, examining the scriptures to see whether these things were so, therefore, many of them believed. And that is the point, isn't it? It's not just about gaining Bible knowledge. It's about believing. It's about accepting that what God says is true, what God says is right, what God says is the way. And that's the only way. Now, in a few moments, we're going to talk about one more passage, but right now, a song.
Thank you.
Now, if you would, Acts chapter 2. This is one of those passages that we have touched on so many times, I wouldn't even begin to try to number them. The day of Pentecost, Peter, less than 2 months after the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus occurring a mere week before this. And we are on the first day of the week, on the day of Pentecost, seven Sabbaths plus one day after that Passover, on this wonderful Sunday. The Spirit comes upon the apostles and the promise of Jesus being fulfilled. They begin to speak the praises of God in the various languages that they need to speak in. Folks gather. Some accuse them of being drunk. Some say that they are indeed a miraculous event taking place. Peter gets up and begins to defend what is going on in verse 14, talking about the prophet Joel and the various things that Joel said about the Spirit being poured out, the signs that were occurring and various things like this. This is the final days, beginning then and going until the time that Jesus comes again. We've been in the final days for two millennia. We are in the final days now. And Peter begins to preach in verse 22 about this Jesus whom they crucified by the hands of godless men. You're familiar with the message that was preached that day. It was the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Death could not hold him. In our place he died, and he has now been exalted. The last time that we studied this, our point of emphasis was verse 37. And if you remember, verse 37 is the response of these people to what was going on in that message. These who stood before Peter had been convicted of the guilt that they had, complicit in the death of the Son of God, who is now risen and exalted. Verse 36, Peter had ended that lesson by simply saying that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Verse 37, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" It's not enough just to seek, just to hear, just to discern what's right, but to respond is what a person needs. These people here have been convicted of the sin that they had. They come pleading to know what to do. And Peter gives a very clear and concise answer that's been argued over more than probably any other verse in this New Testament. Listen to what Peter said and see if it sheds some light on what you should do. Peter said to them, that is to those that were asking, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." With many other words, the scripture goes on to say, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Now, you and I can read and discuss back and forth about this all we want, but the simple statement is that repentance and baptism bring about forgiveness in the presence of the Spirit. And it's an escape from a perverse generation. That's what verse 40 says. The immediate response, verse 41, then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. I want you to get a hold of this and think about this, that there is a clear response spoken of here. If you are a seeker who is willing to hear what God has to say, and you are willing to discern what is right and what is wrong among all the various messages that you hear, then you are able to respond. And there is the response. In this last program of the Word of Life, I simply want to say to you, thank you for listening. Thank you for spending time with us. Make sure that you join us at one of the congregations. Come and spend time with us and enjoy the feast of God's Word. God bless you, and I'll keep you in my prayers. We love you.